What a great day to celebrate. Happy Mother's Day. Let me read you some messages from Mother's Day card. One, to the coolest mother. It's amazing that at times when a mother goes out with her daughter and someone turn to them and say, is this your sister? Next one. There is no woman as kind-hearted, as gentle and caring as you are, mom. We know one thing for sure. When we grow old, we tend to call our wife mom. But no one can replace mom. Another one. Mother, you are right about literally everything. What a way to say about mother. You are right about everything. Dear mom, raising me took a lot of patience and strength. Thank you for hanging in there. Happy Mother's Day. Love you. The last one. Mother, I know how hard it is to be a mom. And I appreciate you even more now that I am a man. Is it not true? And when the children tells the mom, why you always say no? Can't you say yes? Why you always? He said that 75% of these children, when they become mothers, they will say the same thing to their children. The Bible calls us to champion our mom, to cheer them, to honor them, and to praise them. Not just on Mother's Day, but every day. It's the fifth command. It's the fifth command out of the ten commands. And it's the only command with the promise. It reads this way. Honor, respect, obey, care for your father and mother. Today we must say mother a bit louder than the father because it's their day. It's the first command that has a promise attached to it. Namely, so you will live and have a long life. This morning, on Mother's Day, I'm speaking on the five unlikely mothers. Unlikely mothers. Pastor Pauling spoke about that 10 years ago in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are a few chapters where genealogy or family trees of names are written there. And there are names that are hard to pronounce. How many realize that? If you don't like somebody, you get them to read it when you're preaching on that chapter. A name hard to pronounce and difficult to remember. But all the time, when I come across this genealogy in the Bible, usually I just flick over. Next chapter. How many of you do the same? Come on, put up your hand. We all do the same. And you always puzzle me, why does God put genealogy in the Bible? God did it to tell us that, firstly, He is faithful. Secondly, to tell us that He is generational. We thank God for the genealogy that is in the Bible. When you look at this genealogy, it assures us that humanity was not by chance. Humanity was not a product of the Big Bang theory or evolution. That humanity can be traced back to one man, Adam, the first man created in the image of God. The genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke traced back to Adam. I went to Hainan Island. I was with my wife and her family. And we went to a place where we would be able to trace the family genealogy or the family tree. And when I saw what was recorded there, only the men were recorded there, not the women. Of course, I discovered that none of them were from royalty. None of them was from important people. They were just ordinary people, like most of us. When you look at the genealogy that's in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, they only record the men. The women are excluded, except in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in Matthew chapter 1. There, they had the name of five unlikely women. Jesus Christ came, and he bring a new day, a new covenant. In the Old Testament, the woman's voice are not heard. Sometimes they are not seen. Jesus came, and through him, men and women are equal. That's the message of Christ for every mother. So when you look at the name of these five unlikely mothers, they may seem insignificant, disqualified, unimportant, or even reject in men's eyes. Yet God, in his wonderful grace, has chosen them and used them for his purpose, that the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, will come from their bosom. These five unlikely mothers are the example of hope to all mothers. All mothers, no matter how dark are your past, how misfortune are your life, how disadvantaged are your surroundings, how difficult your life may be, God is in control. And he has a plan and a future for every mother. God's plan and God's future for every mother is good. And we can see from the life of these five unlikely mothers that God works. God works and God works. Sometimes we think he's not working, but God is always working. And while we are asleep, he is still working. When we see nothing happening, he is still working. And God is working for his purpose. And God is working everything for good. So mothers, this morning, I want you to put your hope, your trust, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the first mother, Tamar. She is called the persistent mother. She is recorded in Genesis chapter 38. From verse 6 to verse 39. We know very little about this woman. Only her name is Tamar, and she's the wife of Ur. Ur is the son of Judah. But Ur is a wicked man. The Bible did not tell us what wickedness he did. But he was just wicked, and God took his life. So in that setting, in that custom, if a brother dies, the next brother must take the brother's wife so that they can produce a seed, a descendant. And so the second brother married her, and his name is Onan. But he was also evil. He was also evil, and so God took his life. Now, Judah, the father, have a younger son. He was too young to marry her and to continue a family life under her. So Judah said to her, "Now I want you to go back to your home. And when the time comes, I will give you my son." She went back home. And when the son, the third son, by the name of, what was her name? What was his name? Shelah. When he was old enough to marry Tamar, Judah refused. He held back. Maybe Judah has this fear. This woman, I give the first son and he died. Now, I give her the second son and he also died. They say, one bitten, twice what? Shy. Twice bitten, never want to try. And now I got another son. I mean, is this woman what we will call today a black widow? So he was afraid. And so he did not want to give the son to her. But Tamar was a woman that recognized her right. This is her right to be able to have a seat for her dead son. This was her inheritance. This was what she deserved. So she was shortchanged by her father-in-law. So one day when she heard that the father-in-law was going to a place to do shearing, she took off her widow clothing and put on a new clothing and sat at the street as if she was a prostitute. Now, this example does not tell us that the end justified the means. It doesn't tell us that. This example was a woman who was desperate, who realized that in her life, she needs a seat. You must understand, in those days, as a woman, you depend on your children to what? To look after you. Children was like an insurance policy. And she has got no children at all. She has no seat at all. So she pretend to be like a prostitute. And Judah didn't realize that, went in to her. And when the time came, when the news came to Judah that she was pregnant, Judah was upset. He said, how can she do such a thing? So she wants to burn her. But when she showed Judah who was responsible for her pregnancy, Judah said, you are more righteous than me. That means she recognized that what she is entitled to, she will not be changed, she will not be shortchanged, and she gave birth to a twin by the name of Pelas and Zelah. Tamar was persistent. She knew her right to maintain a name for her dead husband. She would not give up, give in, quit, or surrender to her setback until her desire to what was hers is fulfilled. Mothers, know that you have inheritance and right in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let no one shortchange you. Let no one steal from you. Be persistent to believe, persistent to pray, persistent to trust, and persistent to do your part, and let God intervene for you. Realize this, mother. When you see your children growing up, and they may rebel, they may give you a tough time. Remember, they are your children. They have a covenant with God. You stand in the gap and persistently bring them to God in prayer. And God will answer your prayer. Persistent. Don't give up. Even how rebellious they are, love them. Love them. Because the end of the day, love conquers all. Persistent. Tamar was a persistent mother. Today, we need mothers to be persistent. Especially in a time when we are living in. Things are changing too fast. And I'm telling you, the knowledge that is available to your children is too much. But you need to be persistent in praying for them, in upholding them before God, thrones of grace. The second mother that is in Matthew, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, is Rahab. She is the faith mother. We know in Joshua 2, God was going to judge the nation of Jericho. Rahab was a real prostitute. I mean, in those days, she would be considered an outcast. You know, she was a real prostitute living in Jericho. And Jericho was the worst city of all the Amorites. And God has commanded Joshua to fully destroy the whole city and the inhabitant. But Rahab displayed faith in the God of Israel. When Joshua sent two spies from the camp to spy on Jericho, they came to the house of Rahab. And when the news of the two spies came to the king ordered his men to go to Rahab's house and bring out the two spies that she hired. But she refused to give the two spies to the king. She helped the two spies. And the reason of her helping the two spies is because she realized that the God of Israel is the true and the living God. He realized that the people around had heard what God did for Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt. With his mighty hand, he has opened the Red Sea and how he had defeated the enemy of Israel. And when he hear all this thing, when the nation hear this thing, the Bible tells their hearts melt. And so she realized that the God of Israel is a true and living God. And she said to them, I'm willing to spare two of your life if you will also spare my life and my family when Israel conquered Jericho. You see, Rahab was a brave woman. She was resourceful. She was a woman of faith. And because of that, when the city of destruction was destroyed, she and her family were spared. Later, she married one of the spies named Simon. The New Testament reveals that she was a faithful follower of the Lord. She has taken her out of the city of destruction and placed her in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul highly recommended Rahab for her faith and gave her a place in Hebrews 11 in the roll call of faith of those who have been faithful for God, those who have triumphed in their faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spy with peace. She had faith in God. She put her faith in God. She did not look at herself and say, I'm a prostitute, I'm not good enough, because she believed that there is a God who is gracious, who is merciful, who is good, who will listen to her if she plead to him. And so, we find that her faith conquers all. When you look in the book of Hebrews, there is only two women recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. It is Rahab and Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11, 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spy with peace. She has this faith to trust in God. And I want you to know that faith is very powerful. Nothing pleases God more than faith. He that come to him must believe that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mothers, I want you to know, no matter what happened to you, have faith in God. No matter how difficult you are facing now, have faith in God. No matter what testing you are going through, have faith in God. And no matter what is happening to your children Have faith in God, because God is a God of faith. God is a God of covenant, and He will honor your faith. He will look at your faith, and because faith pleases Him, He promised He will reward you for your faith. Have faith in God, because faith is the only security hope for your life and your family. That's why, mothers, you need to live out your faith. You need to make sure your faith is authentic, so that your children can watch your faith, so that they can become like Timothy, who see the faith that is in the mother and the faith that is in the grandmother. And some of you are grandmothers today. Not to mention a few of them. Some have just joined the club. But I want you to know, your faith is great important. And one thing about your faith, when your grandchildren cannot connect with the mother, because there will be a time in the life of a teenager, they think that the mother is very anti them. There will be the time. And I tell you, here is when the grandmother comes in as the savior, as the good person. I want you to know, let your faith be displaced into their life. Because your voice, or what you say as a grandmother to your granddaughter, to them is only love and unbiased. We come to the third mother, Ruth. I call her the committed mother. Ruth was a widow like Tamar. She was non-Israelite. She was a young Moabite woman. And one thing about Ruth, she has a mother-in-law. And if there is any great picture of relationship of mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, is this book, Ruth. What a beautiful picture. I mean, today we can't say every mother-in-law and daughter-in-law are buddies, and, you know, going out, having coffee together. But this is a great picture. And I pray that every Christian mothers here, you have a good relationship with your mother-in-law. Can I say that? And I pray that every mother-in-law knows your boundary in order not to upset your daughter-in-law. Because some mother-in-law just do not know how to release their children. Would it not be great? Let me tell you, honestly in my heart, would it not be great in the church when mothers-in-law and daughter-in-law get along well? Would it not be great, Pastor Kara? You know, one thing about Henry, father-in-law always get along with son-in-law. Amen. What they say, there cannot be two tigers in the mountain. They were not talking about men, they were talking about women. And this is a great picture of a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law got along so well. You know, and she could come to the mother-in-law and say, "Hey, you are bad luck, man. I follow you, your husband died, your two sons also died. You know, what kind of luck are you? What kind of person, what kind of genes you are?" We know Naomi, she ran away from her home because things was getting bad. And she went to a new place. It was good for a while, but then the end, it got bad. One thing I want to let you know, mothers, don't run away when things are bad. Don't run away from relationship. Don't run away from problem. Don't run away from troubles. Because all these things, God can help you to overcome it and give you some light in darkness. And so she ran, you know, and then she, the end, lost everything. And when she came back home,
She tells the people, call me bitterness. That's what my life is. My life is bitter. But here was Ruth. Ruth did not say, well, I'm afraid of you. Keep a distance from me. You are bad luck. No, Ruth said, I will follow you because your God will become my God. You see, Ruth sees that no matter what Naomi is going through, through her own journey of going away from God's plan. That's what happens when you step away from God's plan. Life do not get easy. It may look good in the beginning, but eventually it will never get easy because that's what the Bible says. But Ruth, stick on with Naomi. And then they came home and they came to this rich man who had a big farm by the name of Bozek, which is related to them. She was willing to have the leftover after they grazed the field. But Bozek was impressed with a woman that cares about her grandmother. He was impressed. And we know that later on, Bozek married Ruth. And then Ruth have a son by the name of Obed, who is the grandfather of David. For Ruth, things was not going well for her. But yet she chose to do good. That's an important thing of life. Sowing and reaping. When things are not going well with you, keep on sowing what? Good seed. Because the harvest will come. And Ruth did not sow because she has. She sowed when she has nothing. And God honored her for her sowing. When things got tough, she could easily run away from the mother-in-law and say, get out, go away, keep away from me. You are a liability to me. But she chose to be there for her, and God honored her. Ruth was committed to the Naomi God even when things turned bad for her and her mother-in-law. She could say, what kind of God is your God to do such a thing to you and me? But she held on to God, never complained, but trusting that God is gracious, God is good, that God will see them through. Mothers, hold on to God, no matter what happened to you or those close to you, because God will not fail you. He will see you through, and all things will work together for good when you will love and trust God. We come to the next mother, Bathsheba. Oh, you know, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, on the five unlikely women, the first four of their name is mentioned. Her name, Bathsheba, is not mentioned, but her story is there. You know about Bathsheba? Was she a victim or was she a seducer? Only she knows. And you know that David was supposed to go to war. He failed his duty as a king by not going to war. He stayed behind. And then he go up to the roof and he saw a woman bathing. I can ask myself, why does she have to bathe outside? And David took the first look. Why didn't he take the first look and turn away? The first look is always the dangerous, man. Man, let me tell you, the first look is the dangerous look. Better not to look. Say amen to that. So he took the first look And he never turned and he kept on looking. And in the end, he got himself into trouble. And then to cover what he did, he got Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. Put him in the battlefront. David, this is one thing for you all to learn. David wrote a letter to give it to his captain, Joab. Joab read the letter, put him in the battlefront. And when the battle is hot, retreat and let him die. So who had this letter? Joab. Only Joab knew what David did. That's why you find that later on, David never dared to punish Joab, even when Joab is wrong. Man, never get yourself into that place where you can be blackmailed. And so, you know, he got her husband killed, and when her husband killed, she got her to come into his palace, and she became one of his wife. Everything was going good. They got a baby. Imagine they got a baby. But the baby did not last long. The baby died. Sin always have consequences. We need to realize that. Some people think they can get away with it. But let me tell you, your sin will find you out. Prophet Nathan came and he talked to David what he did. He had to tell a parable to David. David was so blind, so deceived. And I want you to know, this is what happens when a person is deceived. You cannot tell them the truth until you really give them a kick. Then they wake up. Oh, is that so? David was like that. He was so blind until a parable can have to be told to him until he got so upset. Who is that man? And then when the prophet said, you are the man, he was slung. Oh, me. Then the baby died. Later on, he could understand the guilt and the conscience they bear. Later on, God gave them a son by the name of Solomon. And the gift of the baby Solomon is an expression of God's forgiveness and pardoning love for them. Though her name Bathsheba is not mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, we can say one thing. Her sin God has put behind his back. Yes, Bathsheba feared. Fear as a woman, as a wife, but her life is not cancer because God forgives sin. And he restores. Mothers, there is no perfect mother. I'm telling you, there is no perfect mother. By the time you learn enough, you are already a grandmother. Right, yeah, Pastor Kara? There's no perfect mothers. There's no perfect mothers in the world. So stop beating yourself. Stop kicking yourself. Stop, you know, trying to look at all this picture. You know, sometimes the word pain, oh, the grandmothers, or this mother is so good, that mother is good. Hey, there's no perfect mothers. We all have our failures, shortcomings, and we fall short of the glory of God. But God forgive, and he give us a future in him. So I want you to do, mothers, don't dwell in your past. What matter happened, repent and move on with God. Hold on to God and believe that God will restore. Believe that God forgive and God will restore, and the best is yet to come because God is faithful. The day you stop believing is the day you die. So you just have to say, God can forgive Bathsheba. God can forgive me as a mother. I may not be the best mother, but one thing, I'm still a mother. And God had given me that privilege and that responsibility. The last mother in the genealogy of Jesus Christ is Mary. She is a submissive mother. She was a virgin, a Jewish virgin girl who loved God. And when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, she was confused and disturbed. When the angel told her that she will become pregnant and have a son, her answer was simply, "How could it be? I'm a virgin." But when she heard of the mission, the extraordinary mission that God has given to her, her heart was ready for it. She said this word, "Let it be according to your words." Let it be according to your word. If I have to give birth to this baby Jesus into this world, let it be according to your word. She was a brave woman. She submit herself, her womb to God to bring redemption into this world. Mothers, know one thing for sure. When God said to Mary, "You will carry that baby Jesus," you know, many things happened after that. Yes, the good part of the shepherd story, the wise men give, you know, they went to the temple. Simon and Anna was at the temple. And her mission, when she submit, was not just to submit her womb, her heart, but to submit her son. That she was there at the cross and at the upper room. Mary submitted her life, and the one close to her, who was the baby Jesus, she submit them to God's eternal purpose. Mothers, would you submit your life, submit your children to the purpose of God? Mary did. Would you? God sees. God seems to look for unlikely women who He could use. All these five women, they are just ordinary women. One have a bad past. One have a sad past. But they all have a good future. You have one who was abused, neglected with an unjust father-in-law. We have one who the mother-in-law needs to depend on. We have one that did what was wrong. Yet, God, in His wonderful grace, forgive, restore. Yet, God have a purpose and a mission for them. Mother, I want you to know, whatever is your past and your present situation, God will help you. God will turn it for good. All you need is to cooperate with God. How do you cooperate with God? Seek His truth, receive His forgiveness, and live in the power of His name. Live in His purpose. God created woman with one very important role that the man were not created for. What is that role? Childbearing. That's the thing that mothers can do that fathers cannot do. Amen. And I'm sure fathers who say amen also. But yet, without mothers, what would our world be? Because it is through them that they are able to refurbish the earth and bring redemption plan to the world. Mothers' hearts touches God all the time. God sees the heart of every mother. This morning, every mother here, God sees your heart. Your cry is not unknown to God. Your pain, your struggle, your worries, and sometimes you feel, "I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't seem to get it right." No matter what, I want you to know that God knows and He sees them and He kept them in His heart. And God knows and His Holy Spirit knows, and He's even revealed to the writers of the Bible. What your pain was, no one knows, but God knows. And He recorded it down. The hope of every mother is to have faith in the living God, in Jesus Christ. Hold on. Stand in the gap for your children. And some of you, I encourage you, stand in the gap for the big baby. You know who is the big baby? Your husband. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.